all that murmuring under your breath, all those side conversations you've been having, all those whispered disdain, I've heard it all, every single word.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're with us today in our series in Malachi. Now, Pastor Philip, we just heard God's word that our words matter, that our words carry weight. They can either honor God or dishonor him. Wow.
Yeah, our words matter immensely. You know, Jesus says, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. And in other words, our words are not random. They're coming from somewhere. And our words disclose what's really going on deep inside of our hearts. And that's what God cares most about is our hearts. So our words are an extension of what he cares about, which is ultimately our hearts. That's why God cares about words so much. And in the book of Malachi, what's going on, God's made all these promises, and the people of God are grumbling under their breath, saying, I don't think God really is going to come through. I don't think he's worth believing. I don't think he's worth trusting. And so they're murmuring and grumbling under their breath. And the Lord is going to come and say, listen, when you stand in final judgment and every word is laid bare, every motive of your heart, every action you've ever done, you're going to understand those words you just muttered under your breath. I heard them, and they matter more than you realize. And when you stand in final judgment, you're going to realize it was worth obeying me every step of the way. Nothing you did for me is wasted, because ultimately this moment we're in is not the final moment. When we stand before God in judgment, we're going to give answer for everything we've ever done. And those who have honored the Lord will be rewarded. And so he's going to say, it's worth it following me in this hard life. It's worth it walking in obedience. So stop your murmuring and start obeying.
Wow. So let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we discover the importance of our speech. This is part one of the sermon, Faltering Faith.
Well, here we are. This is the next to last message in our study through Malachi. And next time we're going to wrap everything up with a grand crescendo full of promise, and it'll be wonderful. But before we do that, this week what we need to do is look at the sixth and final dispute in the book as the people of God continue to argue back and forth with him. And you'll remember last time we saw that God was pouring out his heart, appealing to his people. He said, test me in this, and I will, if you step out in faith-filled obedience, I will pour out so much obedience, so much blessing upon you in your obedience, you won't even know what to do with it. He says, return to me, and I will return to you. And we could just sort of feel God's heart beating in that passage, reaching out, longing to reconcile his wayward people, that they would turn aside from their wicked ways and come home to him. But the question is, how will they respond to that appeal that the Lord makes? And in today's passage, we're going to see they respond in two very different ways. One group of people is going to look at one another and they say, you know what? God's right. It's time. It's time we repented and returned to him. It's time we came home. And another group of people is going to turn to one another and say, what's the point? What's the point? They're going to double down on their faltering faith. And it's a reminder to us that whenever God speaks, it always divides the crowd, right? It always divides the crowd. Some people grow tender in faith-filled obedience while others are hardened in their self-will and obstinance. So the question always is, which group am I a part of, right? As I hear the word of the Lord each and every week, which group am I a part of? If we're honest, I think there's a little bit of both in all of our hearts. So let's look at how the Lord interacts with these two groups and their two different responses to his appeal this morning. We're going to start with the group with the hard hearts, because that's where our text begins. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 down to 18 this morning. Malachi 3, verses 13 down to 18. If you'll listen as I read, this is the word of the Lord. "Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention to them and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares a son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him." Thanks be to the Lord for the reading of his word. Now, in this passage, there's a number of allusions, aren't there, to what we would call the day of judgment, the day of judgment, the day when all people will stand before God, when the books will be opened, and the Lord will make a final distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the sheep and the goats, to use Jesus' language, between those who enter into the kingdom of light and those who are cast out into outer darkness. And God is saying, look, you may doubt at this moment whether faithfulness to me is of any benefit, but on judgment day, you will see, you will know, you will care very much which side you are on. If you are faithful to me, I will be faithful to you. If you hold fast to me, I will hold fast to you. If you return to me, I will return to you. Because on judgment day, I am the only thing that will matter. And so this passage really is serving as a reminder to Israel and to us that God hears our words, he discerns our hearts, and he remembers our deeds. Okay, there's your outline for this morning. God hears our words, discerns our hearts, and remembers our deeds. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray, and then we'll work our way through this. Father, we will all one day stand before you. And in that day, everything will be laid bare. And so, Father, in many ways, life is about getting ready for that day. What will we do? How will we stand? Is there any hope for us? Remind us of the beauty of the gospel today and all that Jesus has done. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. So first of all, God hears our words. God hears our words. Look again at these opening verses, and I want you to pay in particular attention, pay a particular attention to the pronouns. Who is actually talking to whom? Okay, verse 13, "Your words," God's saying, "have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you?" And they say, we didn't say anything against you, to you. Verse 14, "You have said, it is vain to serve God." So they're talking, they're not talking to God, but they're speaking to one another about God. You see that? They're having side conversations with each other. What is the profit of keeping his charge or of walking in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. So they're talking one to another. Here's the scenario. God makes this beautiful offer of grace. Trust me in this and I will pour out blessing upon you. Return to me and I will return to you. And they hear what God says and then they kind of turn to one another and this group starts muttering to themselves, grumbling sideways to each other. And they're like, it's vain to serve God. It's pointless. It doesn't matter. There's nothing in it for us. Faithful obedience gets us nowhere. Those arrogant evildoers, now that's where it's at. That's the kind of test I'm interested in. They test God and get away with murder, right? So they're talking to each other, and God says, it's so cynical, isn't it? It's so cynical, it's sanctimonious, self-righteous, it's sacrilegious even. And God says, I heard that. You thought you were talking quietly to one another. I heard that. Have you ever been busted in class for like speaking out of turn while the teacher was teaching? Anybody get busted? Anyone like me? It's like that, only 100 billion times worse, right? God's like, you have something you want to share? I heard what you were saying. All that murmuring under your breath, all those side conversations you've been having, all those whispered disdain, I've heard it all. Every single word. It reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew 12:36 when he says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they have spoken. Every careless word. Not the ones you say on purpose, the ones that slip out without care. The Apostle Paul says something similar in Romans 2, verse 16. He says, on that day, God will judge the secrets of men. The secrets. Every inaudible thought. Every muttered word under your breath. Every whispered remark. God hears it all. The bad and the good. That's what he says in verse 16, pop down there. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. So they're talking too with each other, and the Lord paid attention and heard them. So while one group is cynically complaining about God with one another, the other group is speaking to one another in the fear of the Lord with reverential awe. They're saying to one another, you know, the Lord is right. It's high time we return to him in faith-filled trust and obedience. We need his favor now more than ever. Let's turn around and come home. And God said, I heard that too. I heard those words as well. Because friends, when it comes to God, nothing escapes his notice. When it comes to God, nothing escapes his notice. God sees all, he hears all, he knows all. There's nowhere we can go, nowhere we can hide. All things are laid bare before him. His gaze pierces into our very depths, and there is no escape from him. Friends, the Bible says that one day every single one of us will stand before God, and all the secrets of our hearts will be laid bare. Everything will be brought into the light. And in that day, nothing will escape the judge's notice. Every careless word, all the secrets of men. How will that day be for you? How will it be?
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are glad you're with us today. As we dig deeper into God's judgment regarding our speech. Now, Pastor Philip, God must really care about our words if he's going to hold us to such a high account with everything that we've said during our life. Remind our listeners, if you would, please, why are our words so important?
Yeah. Well, if Jesus is right, and of course he is, when he says that our words are the overflow of our hearts, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, then what we're seeing in our words is actually what's reflective of what's happening deep down in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And God cares tremendously about our hearts, and our words betray, if you will, something of what's going on. And this is bigger than that, though. The reason words matter so much is because it's part of the image of God in us. If you think of God himself, how does he create the world? He speaks, and therefore it is. And of course, God is a covenant keeping God. So he speaks words of promise and commitment, and then he lives out faithfully what those words mean. And of course, this is the foundation of our salvation, right? He has declared us righteous in Christ. We're justified freely as he has called us to be his children and declared us righteous, and he said, you are mine. So his words matter. They change reality. They form the world as we know it. So words have power. God's words, of course, are way more powerful than ours, but we're made in his image, and our words matter because they're reflective of his character, and he calls us to live with the same kind of integration between our words and our actions, reflective of our hearts. There's an integrity to our words, our intent, our behavior that ought to be reflective of his righteous character as well. So he wants us to keep our covenants and wants us to use our words in ways that matter and keep our promises, and to not use our words as weapons to dehumanize others and to tear others down. Like Jesus says, don't even say raca, you know, you fool. That is violence, and it is anger, and it is a murderous language that Jesus is forbidding. So you have this whole theology of like our words matter more than we think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we tend to just downplay it. We think, well, you know, I was just shooting my mouth off. I was just saying, I just said that. It didn't really matter. And Jesus is stepping into that space and saying, look, every careless word at the end of the day is going to be held accountable before the throne of justice. So like the Lord sees all, he knows all, he knows your heart, he knows the intent, he knows what's motivating you, he knows your words even before you say them, and they matter tremendously. And I think it's helpful for us to recognize that when words come out of our mouths, sometimes we think, I don't know why I said that. Hmm. I think that's a good moment to pause and to actually sit down and go, wait a minute, I said that for a reason. What does that show me about my heart? And what do I need to pay attention to? Because something spiritual is going on. That's why I said that, you know? And so I think the Lord is helping us see the weightiness of our words and helping us recognize that they actually are showing us our hearts. And we should care about that, just like God cares about that.
Mm. This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller, and we're talking about the importance of our speech. Some of our listeners, Pastor Philip, may be saying, you know, listen, I try to watch what I say. I'm not using a lot of vulgarity or profanity or taking the Lord's name in vain, so to speak. But there are ways that we can misuse our speech and not even be aware of it.
Yeah. One way in my life that I've been convicted of is sometimes I get mad at inanimate objects. You know, stupid door won't open, or why can't this dumb thing work? You know, and when I say things like that, what I'm there's a couple of layers to this. It's like, well, these are good gifts that God gave me, and I'm actually not being thankful for them right now, even though they might be broken or frustrating me. The other thing is, all of this is under the sovereignty of God. Mm. I can't actually blame that door. The door doesn't have a will. It's not intentionally hurting me. So if I'm actually being mad at the door, like I'm probably actually, if anything, I'm mad at God. Oh. Because I don't like the circumstance I'm in, or I don't. So I think there's all kinds of ways that we use careless words. Of course, we can take the Lord's name in vain. That would be an easy way to identify. Or sometimes if we're just complaining about our circumstances, well, who's sovereign over those circumstances? Right? In everything, give thanks, Paul says. I'm not supposed to be grumbling and complaining about what I have in life. I'm not supposed to. Or sometimes we compare ourselves to others and we're like, well, how come they have that? Or is jealousy or envy coming out of our speech? Mm. And that's really reflective of a discontented heart that actually thinks, you know, what God's given me is not right. It's not fair. I deserve more. There's an entitlement and pride underneath that. So the language we use matters, and it's massively helpful in diagnosing what's going on in our hearts. Or let me give one more example.
Sure. Right?
So in my family, sometimes I get impatient with my kids when they're loud, or, you know, I come home after a long day of work or whatever, and I just want some peace and quiet, and they're just rambunctious running around, and I'm like, why can't you quiet down, right? Or something like that. And it's like, what's going on? Why would I say that, right? Well, deep down, I feel entitled to peace and quiet. I think I deserve it. I've worked hard, and there's a pride operating in there that's not actually thinking about what they need and why they're excited and why they're just running around because they're having the best time of their life. And I, you know, so it's like there's something going on in my heart. If we can stop and pay attention to our words, I think we can start to discern some of the sin, the pride, the selfishness, the ego that's running rampant in our hearts. If we'll just slow down and actually look at what's underneath those words.
Mm. Thank you so much for that illustration. I was convicted, you know. I saw myself there standing in front of the microwave going, faster, faster.
It didn't hurry up, did it?
No, it didn't hurry up. You know, Malachi is showing how people speak about God will be judged, but there's really a broader application here about how we use our words with other people. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping that our listeners will be greatly encouraged by what we offer now.
Yeah, I mean, well, if words matter, and they do.
Yes.
And they matter not just with God. He deserves our worship, thanks, adoration, praise, and all of that. But also the way we treat those who bear his image, the way we use our words toward them matters too. And that's where Jesus says, you know, I don't want you even being angry or saying, you fool, of a fellow human being, because what I've crowned them with my image, and you're actually desecrating the image of God in them when you fail to honor a human being as a reflector of my image and glory, as a person made in my image and likeness. And so the way we treat other people, the words we use, matter tremendously. It's not just the way we use our words toward God, it's the way we use our words toward others. And the Lord wants us to use holy speech because it's reflective of hearts that are being transformed into his image and likeness, that are sharing in his glory. And so the more we walk with Jesus, the more we're full of the Holy Spirit, the more we are filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the more that heart is going to issue, just like James says, you know, it's like a stream of water, and the water, if it's polluted, it's going to come out in words that are polluted. But if the stream is clean and good, then it's going to come out in purity and goodness. And so our words are flowing from our hearts. And so ultimately the issue is not try to work on your language. The issue is bring your heart before the Lord, ask him to clean it and to change it from the inside out, and then the speech will start to change. And that's the transformation that the Lord wants to bring into all of our lives.
What a word of encouragement today, that we would season our speech, certainly with affirmation and grace, but also with a reverential awe. It's a sobering thought that our words are like a stream reflecting the purity or pollution of our hearts. In Malachi, God warns that he is a swift witness against those who do not fear him. I don't know, beloved, if that realization causes you to tremble, you aren't alone. We all need to know where we stand before Almighty God, and that's why we're offering Pastor Erwin Lutzer's book, How You Can Be Sure You'll Spend Eternity with God. We received a powerful testimony from someone, we'll just call him James, who was struggling intensely with medical issues and what he now realizes were spiritual oppression. His breakthrough to new assurance of salvation and hope in Christ came through the book we sent him, How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God. This book answers the questions that keep many of us awake, questions about whether we can lose our salvation or how to handle sessions of deep doubt. It's a resource that helps you move past misplaced faith and anchors you in the perfect righteousness of God. Now, when your heart is clean because of his grace, your words and your life will begin to reflect that same grace. This book is a vital companion for anyone who wants to be certain that they are on the narrow road that leads to life. Now, to get your copy of How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God for a donation of any amount. Now, I have to tell you, this is the second to last day for this offer. So to request your copy, go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Now, next time, we'll discuss how God discerns the secrets of our hearts. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.